Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya. Jaya Gopi Jana Bala Bhagirivana Dari Jaya. Jaya Gopi Jana Bala Bhagirivana Dari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvajakacharya Astatarasatasi Simad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 10. Texts 16 through 19. I guess I'll just read the Sanskrit in a translation. And number 19 is on the board. Ah, there it is, on the board. Danur Vishpur Jayan Divyam Dvis Satam Kedam Udvahan Astragam Vyadamad Banar Ganan Ikam Ivan Ilahai. Dhruva Maharaj's bow and arrow twanged and hissed, causing lamentations in the hearts of his enemies. He began to shoot incessant arrows, shattering all their different weapons, just as the blasting wind scatters the assembled clouds in the sky. Tasyate chapa nirmukta bitva varmani rakshasham. Kayan avi visas tigma giran asanayo yata. The sharp arrows released from the bow of Dhruva Maharaj pierced the shields and bodies of the enemy, like the thunderbolts released by the King of Heaven, which dismantle the bodies of the mountains. So we have text 18 and 19. Balai sanchi jam anan Am Sirubush Charu Kundalai Urubir Hematalabir Durabir Valaya Vagubai. Okay. Hara. Oh, I'm sorry. Now we'll try. Hara Keyorda Mukutair. Usni Sascha Mahadanai. Astratastarana Bhuvo. Rejur Vira Manoharaha. Hara Keyura Mukutair. Usni Aischa Mahadanai. Astritastarana Bhuvo. Rejur Vira Manoharaha. Okay, others? Hare Keyura Mukute. Nahabdinai. Astatastarana Bhuvo. Vijabira Manohara. Hare Keyura Mukutair. Ladies, any ladies? No? Okay. Haka Keyura Mukutair. Astatastavana Bhuvo. Vajrasvira Manoharaha. Harakeya Mano Mukteir. Usni Aischa Mahadanai. Astatastarana Bhuvo. Rejavira Manohara. Kutair. Ushnishtesta Mahadunai.
Astatastarana Bhuvo.
Rejavira Manoharaha. Balai. By his arrows. Sanchi Jamanam. Of the Yakshas who were cut to pieces. Shiro Bhi. With heads. Charu. Beautiful. Kundalai. With earrings. Urubi. With thighs. Hematalabai. Like golden palm trees. Durbihi. With arms. Valaya Vagubihi. With beautiful bracelets. Hara. With turbans. Oh, I'm sorry. With garlands. Keyura. Armlets. Mukutai. And helmets. Ashtrita. Covered. Taha. Those. Ranabuvaha. Battlefield. Rijuhu. Began to glimmer. Vira. Of the heroes. Manaharaha. Bewildering the minds. The great sage Maitreya continued. My dear Vidura, the heads of those who were cut to pieces by the arrows of Dhruva Maharaj were decorated very beautifully with earrings and turbans. The legs of their bodies were as beautiful as golden palm trees. Their arms were decorated with golden bracelets and armlets, and on their heads there were very valuable helmets bedecked with gold. All these ornaments lying on the battlefield were very attractive and could bewilder the mind of a hero. purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. It appears that in those days, soldiers used to go to the battlefield highly decorated with golden ornaments and with helmets and turbans. And when they were dead, the booty was taken by the enemy party. Prabhupada uses that word, the booty. You don't know what the booty is, right? It's whatever's left. You pick up the spoils, the booty. The falling dead in battle with their many golden ornamental dresses were certainly a lucrative opportunity for the heroes on the battlefield. The great sage Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, the heads of those who were cut to pieces by the arrows of Dhruva Maharaj were decorated very beautifully with earrings and turbans. The legs of their bodies were as beautiful as golden palm trees. Their arms were decorated with golden bracelets and armlets. On their heads there were very valuable helmets bedecked with gold. All these ornaments lying on the battlefield were very attractive and could bewilder the mind of a hero." Magina tumadandasya ganandina sadakaya chakshulan militam jaina tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manobistam stapitam jaina bhutale svayavrupa kadamayam dadati svapatandikam Vanchakopa Tirubhishcha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So it's very nice to be here. Our first trip to Govardhan Eco Village. And of course, as I'm sure you hear from everyone that comes here, it's beyond words to describe what has happened here. So let's go over this a little bit. You can see the battlefield at this time, much different than the battlefield today, where we have their fatigues and special glasses to see the enemy, and you know, they're connected now. And here it sounds like it's a ball. Sounds like everyone's going to a party. Only they're killing each other, but they're dressed. We come to see Krishna. Who dresses like this? You know, here we have golden helmets, ornaments. This is how things are supposed to be. In Kali Yuga, we have no understanding of what life is like. Even in war, everyone is bedecked. Huh? Opulence is everywhere. So, although it appeared that Dhruva Maharaj might be defeated, it says just like when the sun set, Dhruva set arrows, so many arrows, he was covered. But in the same way, the devotee of the Lord, even though it may appear there's some reverses, he's actually always going forward. Just like Srila Prabhupada, yesterday, we were given tour by Anant Prabhu, and we got to see Prabhupada from birth, Rath Yatra festival, and then he was on the Jaladuta. So on the Jaladuta, Prabhupada had many reverses, so many difficulties. And I was telling Prabhu that in Mayapur, myself and Paramahamsa Swami, you never knew how Prabhupada was thinking, what was going on in his mind. But he just rang the bell. Sometimes he would just ring the bell. And he called us in and he started describing his heart attack, when he had the heart attack on the Jaladuta. And there were more than one. He said there were multiple attacks. So at that time, of course, he thought, maybe this is it. The end, in the middle of the Atlantic. But he thought, it's not possible. And then he had a dream. That's what he said. He told us about his dream, which he described many times. But he said, and I was on a boat, just a wooden boat. He said, in all the incarnations, like the 10 incarnations, they all had an oar. and they were rowing him. He said then he woke up and he could understand that Krishna was protecting, everything would be fine. And from that moment, just like it's described here, it was like everything just flipped. Everything had been difficult. The whole trip across the Atlantic. The Atlantic is known for being very unsettled, huh? Lots of waves. And he said, but it was the wife. He said, the wife of the captain said, "You please, you know, you come with us all the time. We have never seen such a flat sea." They said it was like a lake. So just like that, Krishna just said, okay. And he cleared the path. And Prabhupada could understand everything will be fine. Krishna is there. Krishna is protecting. We can see this in life. Sometimes these things happen. Reverses in our own lives. This is when you get to make advancement in spiritual life. This is when our faith is tested. When we try to understand why these things are happening to me. You know, sometimes devotees have been 30, 40 years Krishna consciousness, reading the books, chanting rounds. And they say, why am I suffering? I'm a devotee. Has anyone read? Have you read what Srila Prabhupada went through to bring us Krishna consciousness? Like they say sometimes, what is it? Overnight. Anyways, overnight, celebrity. No such thing. Everything comes through our endeavors. Yeah, hard work. Srila Prabhupada, pure devotee, it didn't mean he just sat back. Krishna was doing everything. The very opposite, we want to do. We want to serve Krishna. Right? But we know the result belongs to Krishna. That's how I saw Prabhupada content within the ISKCON society. Huh? Even back then, now we see there's so many struggles on different levels, so many factions. It existed at that time when Prabhupada was here. He said to me once, if it wasn't for the chanting of Hare Krishna, he said, you couldn't, he said, you Westerners, he talked about us, you Westerners, he said, you couldn't accomplish anything. He said, so much intoxication and illicit sex. He says, your mind, your brain, he would say, like cow dung. Your brain like cow dung. At least it's cow dung, right? So he would say like that. He said, except for his chanting. Everything is manifested. You can see it's by the desires of a pure devotee. Everything that's manifested. I see this place here. We talk so much in these days now. Prabhupada's final instructions are 50%. Everyone knows the 50%. He said, I've only finished 50% of my business. The other 50% was Varnashram. And of course, he had plans to go to Gita Nagari. But many times, people, as soon as they say Varnashram, they think farm. We all should go work on a farm. But Prabhupada's idea was engage everyone on this planet, somehow or other. He saw that 50-50 because from the very beginning, if you listen to Prabhupada's lectures, 1967, 1968, 1969, they're very deep, very profound, sometimes very esoteric. And by 1970, he wrote a letter, said, all of my disciples, boys and girls, he said, I want that they'll be initiating in the society by 1975. So at that time, he had a plan by 1975, even with his presence, everyone was going to be initiating. But then the more years went by, the more he saw. We were not raised in this Vedic society, us Westerners. Huh? We had a lot of anartas to deal with. At the same time, they spread. Huh? Prabhupada's disciples spread Krishna consciousness all over the world by their sincerity and by his desire. One of the first places was New Vrindavan. That was our first farm. And what would later, over the years, become very much a Varnashram society, headed by Kirtanananda. He did his best to create. He had everyone engaged, following principles, not following principles, chanting rounds, not chanting rounds. That's what the devotee wants to do. Whatever you are, somehow or other, you're helping in society, to advance society in a spiritual way. So we know early on, New Vrindavan was purchased by Kirtanananda Swami and Hayagriva Prabhu. I arrived there on 1971, beginning of May 1971, and they had just gotten the Bahulaban farm, the Vrindavan farm that was up the hill, and it was very isolated. That's where Maharaj would be, spend most of his years up there on the Vrindavan farm. But I was in Bahulaban farm. It may have been like Bahulaban farm, may have been Mumbai, and Vrindavan could have been Delhi. Like you never went anywhere outside of where you were because everything required walking. So the cows were there. I remember the first thing I did there was milking cows. 6 cows a day, twice a day. Before I go, I should go in the Goshal. I would really like, if you have any milking going on. See, this is devotee. Prabhupada said, devotee, expert in everything. He said, if you become expert in one thing, he told this to one of his disciples, he said, then you can become expert in everything. This is how a devotee thinks. He's never comfortable. He's never just relaxed. I've reached this point, this plateau. Now everything, I'm Krishna conscious. No, always more, more, more. Prabhupada would say, one day after lunch in Mayapur, I went in, he would take a nap. So he went into the bedroom, and he sat on the bed, and he looked at me. He said, I hate sleep. He said, it's a big waste of time. He said, I hate sleeping. He said, nothing happens. He says, it's just a waste of time. And then he laid down and closed his eyes. Very comfortably, very peacefully. Huh? But devotee thinks like that. I don't want to waste one second. And of course I say, Prabhupada was Krishna conscious 24 hours. Me, even awake, can be in Maya, right? So then that's what Prabhupada said. If you all day you're serving Krishna, then at nighttime even your dreams will be about your service, about Krishna. He said, so even your sleeping is Krishna conscious. So I got to New Vrindavan in May, and 3 months later was the first time I saw Srila Prabhupada. And I was at initiation in New York. Then we went back to New Vrindavan. And Prabhupada came for the first time, September, well, first time for me. He was there. It became, New Vrindavan became where Prabhupada would go for Janmashtami. Like it was kind of established. He would spend a week to 10 days. And he would do what was called Bhagavat Sapta. We had Govardhan Hill. It's just so wonderful being here, seeing that Radhanath Maharaj has been able to fulfill the desires of even Prabhupada and Kirtanananda, and he brought it all here and established Govardhan. This is New Vrindavan, India. Everything is here. I mean, it's amazing to see how it's expanded in so many ways by his desire. I hear Ananta Raghava talking about how Radhanath Maharaj, as things were going on, he'd give you a little project, then the next project, and the next project, never ending. See, this is just how Prabhupada would do. You as soon as you would get your foot down, he'd give you something else. Huh? In New York, they had collected, this is 1974, 73, they had collected $75,000 in book distribution to get a new temple. But Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. Vrindavan needed money for the temple. So Prabhupada just took it. Prabhupada never saw any distinction anywhere within ISKCON. We all just belonged to Prabhupada. That was the end of the story. You could have been in Portland, Oregon. You could be in Mumbai. You could be here or there. In Los Angeles, you know, back in, they would complain when visiting devotees would come and try to do book distribution in our city. These are our people. We get to distribute books. It's our money coming in. Prabhupada said, "Think anyone can distribute." He said, "So everything belonged to Krishna, not Krishna West, Krishna East, Krishna North, South. No, Krishna. It's just Krishna. There's not so many Krishnas. There's one Krishna." So Prabhupada was Prabhupada. So everything, ISKCON was his. This temple, that temple, didn't matter. And we all belong to him. It is non-different now. Huh? Everybody comes here. You're Radhanath Maharaj, he understands so well taking care of guests. Prabhupada also understood this principle. It's the most important thing. There's everything you do. He even told Bhakti Swarup Damodar, you're not going to convince people with your scientific knowledge. He said, you'll attract them by your person, by yourself. This is what you see. It's so easy. Just look at Radhanath Maharaj. People are attracted to someone, as Prabhupada said, when he said, Prabhupada, everyone loves you. He says, that's because I love everyone. You know. So the more we advance, the more everyone becomes involved. We want to see everyone happy in Krishna consciousness. So when Prabhupada came in September of 72, and Radhanath tells this story much better than I do, he didn't have a servant. And I had just been with Prabhupada a few months before in Los Angeles, morning walks, reading Krishna book to him every day. So I became attached, person to the person, Prabhupada. But now I'm back in New Vrindavan cooking because I received Brahmin initiation in May of 72. So immediately Kirtanananda put me in the kitchen. You're head of the kitchen, which means you're the only person in the kitchen. Right? You're in charge. You don't want everybody. You're not in charge of anyone except yourself. So you're there from 4 in the morning until 9 at night. So Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan for, this was second, I think the second festival, Janmashtami. He didn't go in 71, but 72 he came back, and there are hundreds of devotees there. So myself, Radhanath Das Brahmachari, Bir Krishna Das Adhikari, they were helping me in the kitchen during the Janmashtami festival. They were my assistants. Radhan, he was rolling chapatis, come down from the Vrindavan farm. But I didn't get to see Prabhupada the whole week. And it's all I wanted to do was see Prabhupada. Instead, I was serving all of the devotees, cooking. We were all cooking for everyone, taking care of the devotees, feeding them. So the night before Prabhupada left New Vrindavan, Kirtananda came, had his cane, came into the kitchen, and just looks at me. So, you want to be Prabhupada's servant? Out of nowhere. He said, okay. He said, you'll leave with him tomorrow morning. He said, and I told him you'll be his best servant ever because you'll never leave him. So the next morning, I go into Madhuban farm. It's like one of these little, it's a little cottage. It's not there any longer. It was very small. And Prabhupada knew Vrindavan, here, wherever he was, he sat in a room with a little table on the floor, one desk lamp for his translation work. So if you would go in there 3 in the morning, it'd just be the lamp on the book. Never had lights all around, bright, bright. No, just for his translation work. So now it's 5 o'clock in the morning. I had never seen Prabhupada. This was early in the morning, and with something I got to experience again and again, Prabhupada's early morning voice. It was very deep. It was a very deep voice. So Kirtanananda brought me into the room. Now, Prabhupada had seen me. I read Krishna book to him every day for a week. We go in and offer obeisances, and Kirtananda says, Prabhupada, this is Sruta Kirti. Prabhupada, very grave. Very grave at this moment. He's going to be your servant. He's a very good cook, but he doesn't know how to massage. This is the introduction. That's it. Prabhupada didn't know anything. I was going to be his servant. I didn't know anything. No one knew anything. And bam. And Prabhupada said, anyone can massage. That was Prabhupada's response, which was to help me be not so much anxiety. Because it was a lot of anxiety for the first time massaging Prabhupada's body. I can tell you, I was so frightened. I didn't know how to massage. I never massaged anyone. And I remember in 71, once I traveled with Kirtananda Maharaj in his van. He would go preaching engagements to different universities. He was very, very austere. He ate khichdi once a day, which we cooked in the van on a little thing. And so one time he said, would you like to give me a massage? And I was like, no. I couldn't even imagine touching another person. You know, that's how I was. You know. But now I was going to get to do that. So then the introduction was there. And Prabhupada said to me, most important words. It was very simple. So he reached down. And he grabbed his lota. This was a very famous lota. This lota was in Russia. This lota went everywhere with Prabhupada, bell metal lota. We didn't even know what a lota was. I had never seen one. You know, there was no such thing existing in the U.S. But I knew about it because there was a story. The lota had a story. Anyway, picked up the lota, starts walking. It's dark. It's 5. Starts walking. He says, follow me. I'm still trying. It was such a simple instruction, but it's the only instruction we need. Follow me, he said. I followed him, walked outside. We went about 10, 12 paces. Wait here. So I stopped, and he went with his lota full of water behind some trees. After a few minutes, he came back. He said, wash it with the mud, like that, and bring it back. So that was my very first service. My first instruction was follow me. My second instruction was clean my lota that I just used in the bathroom. So immediately he just told me, this is you. You just clean my lota. This is your servant. Huh? So I did it. I never had to clean it again in 2.5 years. Everywhere we went, there was a crew of Matajis, ladies, Brahmacharinis, whatever, that would clean Prabhupada's room, polish his cooker, polish everything. But that one day, he made me do that. He didn't have to say anything. But I took it as a very important instruction. And then we just left New Vrindavan. So I was with Prabhupada for 16 months. And then I left as a brahmachari. I wanted to get married. Prabhupada discouraged it. He discouraged it months before. I told you, when I would bring him his lunch every day, 1 o'clock, bring in his thali, put it on the table, offer obeisances, and go back, start rolling chapatis. So the one day, it's in New Dwarka. This is where I met my wife, New Dwarka, in the kitchen. The kitchen is a very dangerous place in those days. Not because of the gas. So 16 months. Then I left Prabhupada. So when I was leaving Kirtanananda Maharaj in New Vrindavan, he heard, of course, everybody in the world heard, Sruta Kirti's leaving, getting married. This was our entertainment in ISKCON. seeing who's next in line. It's like you're standing in line for the Charnamrita, but it's not Charnamrita at the end. There's something else there. So we're all in. So that went around. Kirtanananda immediately sent a letter to Prabhupada. Not a phone call. There were no phone calls. Put your phone. What are you doing with your phone? There were no phones we could use. We didn't have cars in New Vrindavan, what to speak of phones. And we didn't have cars. That's why no one blooped. Because you couldn't, bloop means, right? That's why no one fell into Maya. The walk from New Vrindavan was so long, you couldn't leave. So you were just stayed there. You couldn't go anywhere. So in the middle of the night, that's when people left New Vrindavan. Because it was the only time you could do it without anyone seeing. And then you would hope there was a car on this road. There were never any cars. So Kirtananda sent a letter and said, please, you send Shruta Kirti back to New Vrindavan. So Prabhupada called me into the room. I had already had plans. I was off going to go to Caracas, Venezuela. I had been invited by Chiksukananda. He opened up the temple there, Mexico City. These were Prabhupada's warriors, traveling around, opening up temples all over the world. So Prabhupada said, Prabhupada didn't say, Kirtananda wants you to go back, now you should go back to New Vrindavan. It's not what he said to me, because Prabhupada knew me. I was with him for a year and a half. He knew everything about me. And he said, so Kirtananda Maharaj wants you to return to New Vrindavan. I said, Prabhupada, I'm going to Caracas, Venezuela. He said, okay. So he wrote him back and he said, I have asked Shruta Kirti. He said, but he doesn't want to return to New Vrindavan. So Prabhupada understood, Krishna consciousness, service is voluntary. You can't be pushed into something that's not going to work for you. And Prabhupada knew me very well. I was very independent. So I was telling you, I brought him lunch one day. This was 8 months before I got married. I put the lunch down on the table. I offer obeisances. And as I'm offering obeisances, Prabhupada says, being a brahmachari is an austerity. He said, being a grahasta is an austerity. He said, you just have to decide which austerity you want to accept. Then I left. So 24 hours later, I bring him his lunch. Put it down. Offer obeisances. My household life was more difficult than managing ISKCON. And then he started eating. So 15 seconds one day, 15 seconds the next day, he told me, don't get married. It was 8 months before I did it, but he knows what's going. Probably knew. He knew he's telling me, austerity. Imagine ISKCON, because I saw him managing ISKCON, it wasn't easy. He would say, give me headaches. Give me these headaches. We were always giving him headaches, he would say. I'm trying to do my translating work. He said, but all this management business, he was always trying to hand over the management. But we were never really qualified. We never had the broad vision that Prabhupada did. Just like here, such a broad vision, engaging everyone in service somehow or other. I was in Govinda's at Chaupati the other day, and six ladies were sitting there taking prasadam. So I was watching, and they were yoginis, the yogis, I could tell, and I figured they had just come from here, or maybe they were going here. So after about 20 minutes, eavesdropping on their conversation, so Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj, he's an eavesdrops on conversations too. He did that with me. So that I could understand they were Spanish. So finally I walked over and I found out they had all come here. The one woman I talked to, she was the yoga instructor. She practiced for years and years. And she was impersonalist. She was so happy here. She changed her life coming here. This to speak of bringing someone from the material world, but to bring someone who's practicing yoga, who's an impersonalist, and be able to turn them is a very wonderful thing. But you can't do it unless you give them facility. So that facility was there. She said she saw Maharaj, what she called Swami Maharaj, dancing. And she said she was so enlivened by everything. I could see she was glowing. They all were. So I talked with them all for about an hour or so. But they had come from this place. So in so many ways, Prabhu was telling me about the man that flew all the way from the U.S., I guess, just to see the donkeys that Maharaj had saved. Something for everyone. That's what Varnashram means. Something for everyone. Like me, I didn't want to go on the farm. We have a saying in the U.S., how are you going to keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris? That's what it was like for me. I traveled around the world with Prabhupada, and now they wanted me to go back to a farm. Prabhupada said, Shruti Kirti doesn't want to go. Then some years later, Mukunda Maharaj, he's asking, Prabhupada, please send two devotees from each temple. We're going to buy a farm in England. Prabhupada said, use your own devotees. He said, we can't send devotees. He said, devotees don't want to be on the farm. He said, our Shruti Kirti. He said, he doesn't want to be on the farm. He said, if you want farmer devotees, you have to make farmers devotees. You can't. It's very difficult to make a city person put them on the farm and expect them to start, you know, yanking, fixing fences. So Krishna consciousness means figure out how to engage everyone. Maharaj is doing this here expertly. He knows. As Prabhupada said, first you follow, then you can lead. So he followed. He understood New Vrindavan, what Prabhupada wanted in New Vrindavan. Prabhupada wanted everything there. He wanted the cows taken care of, but he also said, I want seven temples. He wanted it literally to be New Vrindavan. And that's why Radhanath Maharaj went there. He was in Vrindavan, so I'm sure he had this vision. He was going to go to New Vrindavan. It was going to be like Vrindavan. Of course, it was quite a bit different than Vrindavan here. Yeah. So, 74. Now, 2 years later from when I became his servant, I'm in New Vrindavan again. I went to Caracas. I stayed there for 6 months. Like I said, I was very independent. And I had couldn't understand the management, couldn't get along with them, I would just go somewhere else. I didn't ask anyone. I would just pack up and find somewhere else to go. It was a disease I developed by being with Prabhupada, because everything he did was so perfect. How he dealt with everyone was so sweet. You know, even if he chastised you, it always ended with help. It was always helpful. It was always to help you, to push you in your Krishna consciousness, huh? But I would go to places and they weren't like that. So then I left Caracas. I went back to New Vrindavan. Kaladris kept calling me up. Come to New Vrindavan. Come back. We have a nice Prabhupada hut for you and your pregnant wife. So I went back there. I had no idea, but now Janmashtami's coming and Prabhupada's coming again. My replacement was Satsarup Maharaj. So he was with Prabhupada for 6-7 months. He left. So now Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan and he doesn't have a servant again. And I'm sitting in the hut and I'm in so much illusion. I'm not even thinking I have an opportunity here to do some. I'm just bewildered in life. I'm married now. My wife's pregnant. I don't know what I'm doing. But I'm in this hut and I'm not feeling connected at all. And then Brahmananda came up to me the day before Prabhupada left. Same scenario, 2 years later. He said, do you want to be Prabhupada's servant? It was just the same. It was deja vu. But I'm different. Now I'm married, got a child on the way. And I looked up the hill. That's where my little Prabhupada hut was, where my wife was in there. And I looked up there. And I said, where are you going? He said, India. That was, to me, that was a very, India, that was danger. To me, it meant you're going to be sick. And so India. So I had a choice, go back with Prabhupada, go to India, or stay here. And I went, and I said, okay, I'm coming. So then he said, okay. So then we both go into Prabhupada's room. And Brahmananda says, so Prabhupada, okay, Srita Kirti, he'll travel with us again? Prabhupada said, okay. No big drum beats, nothing. Okay. It was like I had never been away for 8 months. I just started my service, just like I was doing. This is Krishna. As you jump in, just do your service. He never asked me what I had been doing for the last 8 months, didn't ask me about nothing. I was his servant, that was it. Follow me. It was back to follow me. Just do what I want you to do. Nothing else matters, all this other stuff. My wife got an apartment in Los Angeles, so she went to Los Angeles, she delivered a baby there. The whole time I'm traveling with Prabhupada. He didn't say, oh, your wife's going to have a baby. Maybe you should go back and be there at the time of birth. No, service. That's all he cared about, was you do your service. Everything else will come in time. And with Prabhupada, of course, it was an emergency situation. It was an urgent situation. He knew he was here just for some days. And he had to give Krishna consciousness to the whole world. So he expected us to step up and sometimes accept some austerity, be uncomfortable, go out of your comfort zone. Then you make progress. Then you can really make some advancement. That faith, you do your service, Krishna will provide everything. And you get realization. Your faith becomes stronger. So while we were there, one day, Kirtananda, he asked Prabhupada, our rasgulas are not turning out. Can you show us how to make rasgula? Prabhupada said, yes. Prabhupada said he was expert, said to me, he said, I am expert cook. He said, my mother, she was expert cook. My sister, he says, she was expert cook. He said, I'm also expert. He said, but I learned just by watching. So there he's telling you, very special. You don't even have to tell him. He would watch. He would say that in different times. He would watch and he knew how to do things. This is expert. And this was Prabhupada. So he said, okay. He said, you prepare the paneer. Get it ready. He said, when it's ready, you call me and I'll... So they got the balls together, you know. Smooth it all out. They made the balls. They had the sugar water in the wok, boiling. Ladle. So Prabhupada comes in, just puts them in. And we're all standing, Kirtananda's, Brahmananda Maharaj, myself, and Prabhupada, and his, you know, like a conductor. And he's just not doing much. And I'd, you know, bounce them over. So this went on for about 10 minutes. He said, okay. He said, you just do this for another 5-10 minutes. He said, then they're done. So he handed the ladle to Kirtananda and he left. Oh, before that happened, I'm sorry, while Prabhupada's doing it, he's guiding and he looks at Brahmananda. He says, you've already half eaten them. We were all lusting over the, you know, back in those days, there was only one thing that kept us really, really happy. It was Mahaprasadam, you know. And stealing it was more happiness. In New Vrindavan, I was a regular thief in the early days of the Mahaprasadam. We were so foolish. You know, they would put the lock on the Mahaprasadam, but they would put the hasp on with the screws exposed. So, you know, myself and my godbrother, Yadavananda, we joined together. After Mangal Arti, while everyone was chanting, we'd get a spoon, because we didn't have screwdrivers. We'd stick a spoon in the screw. We'd undo all the screws and steal the maha. So they found out that we were doing it. You know, they told Kirtananda, you know, Srutakirti, they're stealing the Mahaprasadam, you know, stealing. Kirtananda said, he gets up 4 o'clock in the morning, goes in the kitchen, I don't care what else he does. So that was his philosophy. It was Prabhupada's as well. You just do your service, everything else will work out. Just do your service. I say Prabhupada never asked any of his disciples, are you chanting your rounds? Are you following the principles? We took vows. He would say, what are you doing? What have you done for me? He recognized those who were doing, those that were spreading Krishna consciousness, those that were helping him. Like we say, the sun's there. It's available for all of us. Right now, the sun's still there. Prabhupada's still here with us. You can step out of that comfort zone. Here, what a wonderful place you're all staying at. Whatever you're doing. These guests that come, they're your gold. So all you have to do is be nice to people. That's what Prabhupada was. He was just nice to everyone. When that race car driver came and visited one night at the manor, I forget his name, British, you know, he was in the Le Mans. Prabhupada talked to him about a combustion engine for 15 minutes. He just talked about cars while he came to see Prabhupada. So Prabhupada could understand what he could accept, what he couldn't accept, and he just gave him what he was able to digest, just so he could think, such a nice person. I can see he's a Swami, this is, but such a wonderful person. Immediately that person has progressed, just by appreciating a devotee. We all have that opportunity. That's why it's nice to look like a devotee. Otherwise, we're no different than anyone else. Prabhupada would say, that's our uniform. As soon as they see, oh, it's a Hare Krishna. That's how we spoke back in those days. Just want to see a Hare Krishna. So, after Brahmananda half ate them, Prabhupada said, okay, he said, just finish them. And he left and he handed the ladle to Kirtananda. As soon as Kirtananda put the ladle in there, they all shrunk. They all shrunk and they never expanded again. They were like hard little curd sweets, which we all ate anyway, because it was sweet and it was still a rasgulla. It's like me. I'll eat a pizza even if it's a bad pizza, because it's a pizza. So, right, Maharaj? Yeah. So we all have our likes and dislikes. Prabhupada had his likes and dislikes. We all are individuals. And individually, find out what you love to do for Krishna, what you love to do for your spiritual master. That's what I'm doing after 48 years. I'm just doing what I like to do. And it's okay. That's our business. Somehow, you get to a point, you should know what you're doing for Krishna. Shouldn't have to ask, do this, do that. That's what the training is for, to get to the point where you can just help others. So we're at 8:30, I guess. Oh, 8:30. When's this glow to? Now. So we can open it up for question, comments, or as Vaisheshika says, some, what's he call them? Reflections. Reflection? Anyway, questions or comments, anyone?
This is a comment on one point you made. When everybody was, that Maha stealing program started to expand because, you know, everybody wanted Maha. So then it became an epidemic. So then we had the Kirtananda, inaugurated a punishment. The punishment is you had to get married if you got caught stealing Maha.
Wow. That was pretty much his punishment for anything, right?
Yeah.
Whatever you did wrong, that was a pretty stiff punishment, yes.
And it also served a purpose.
Utility is the principle. Because that shows then you should be married, huh?
Well, they had so many ladies, they were waiting in line, so...
Yes. I don't think things have changed all that much. Ah, she's going to want a story. No?
Well, I would like you to tell what you were actually eating there.
Eating?
Eating, yes. Oh, tell milk. About that special soup you would eat.
Special soup?
Yeah.
The curd?
No. The oatmeal soup and the chickpeas. And that was your meal, right?
Not when I was there. No, see, that's why I did. That's Prabhupada saved me from those years. No, that when I was there, it was very opulent. Bahulaban, because it wasn't established. So we had cows, and we had lots of milk. One cow would fill up a bucket twice a day. You know, we had Holsteins, we had Jersey cows. Jersey cows would only fill up 2/3 of a bucket, but it was much, much creamier. It was yellow on the top. You know, the cream would come to the top. So we didn't have cream separators. We just left the milk and drank the milk. And, you know, for breakfast, Katila, Kuladri's wife, Brahmacharini at the time, we were eating granola with, you know, hot milk. And lunch was regular. We had rice, dal, chapatis and things. Later on, it became oat water, I hear, and things. But that austerity wasn't meant for me. I had my own austerities. I got married, so I already had I chose my austerity. But what did I do after? Yeah, then Prabhupada sent me, I went in Hawaii, I managed the restaurants. Then he sent me to Boston. He said, Ambarish wants to open up a restaurant. He said, you've expert. As soon as you became expert, expert is all it meant is you did it. That, you did it, you know, because many people try, but it doesn't happen. So if you did it, it makes you an expert. You accomplished you managing a restaurant for a year. That's a big deal. So he said, go to Boston, help Ambarish open up the restaurant. So I no sooner left Prabhupada, he connected me to Ambarish. So then I was there. We never opened a restaurant. It just didn't happen. Then I got called back to Hawaii to be the temple president. I left there because I didn't like the temple president. Right after I left Prabhupada, I was in Hawaii. So I'm there for a few months. Because I didn't like the way he treated people. I just didn't like it because I had been treated by Prabhupada. I was his disciple. And I got treated so much better than this devotee was treating his god brothers and god sisters, and I was upset, and I wrote Prabhupada. I told him. And Prabhupada said, so you're not, he said, getting along there? He said, so go to Boston. He didn't say anything about the temple president. He was his president. Prabhupada was not into changing managers, changing anyone, especially management. So he sent me to Boston. So while in Boston, then after 4 months, I get a call from the GBC. He said, do you want to be temple president in Hawaii? So he removed them. But it wasn't my job. It wasn't my service. I wasn't in management. I was just a devotee staying there. It wasn't my business to try to disrupt things in the temple. So Prabhupada sent me away. But then in due course of time, he also got sent away. So then I went back. I became the temple president for a few years. So our service, whatever your guru wants you to do, that's what we do. Then we're happy. Spiritual master is happy. We make nice advancement. And life can be peaceful because we have that contentment with our service. There isn't any other peace. There's no other comfort in this material world, at least once you become devotee. We're special, and we're going to, Krishna's going to guide us. I say just like now, you all know, you know, when you're going somewhere, you just put in your Google Maps, and you go. And if you make a wrong turn, man or woman gets on there, and they readjust and says, okay, now do this. So that's what Krishna and the spiritual master do, is we're practicing and going this way, that way. They make adjustments. And sometimes they can be very powerful, strong, and difficult adjustments. But once you accept it, then the progress is there. Yes?
Yeah, Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Would you like to kindly share some of the pastimes or incidents where Prabhupada was accommodating and forgiving to the disciples from your what you personally witnessed?
Yeah, well, I witnessed for myself. I didn't have to witness. He was very accommodating. I just told it in Mirror Road yesterday, I guess. I traveled with Prabhupada for almost 2.5 years. And I arrived at many airports with Prabhupada. I was never in an airport seeing him come. I was always behind him, seeing hundreds of devotees in ecstasy. Tears, laughing, crying, jumping up and down, screaming, just as he would enter the gate into the airport. So this particular time in my struggles, my mind was torturing me. I was very depressed. So when Prabhupada walked into the airport and I see everybody, all I saw was ecstasy. And I felt so opposite from all that. I'm with Prabhupada. I'm right behind him. But I was in total Maya. So then Prabhupada everybody jumping up and down, chanting, dancing. Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Prabhupada smiles, sees everyone. You see everyone. Everyone would see his eyes. So then we get back to the temple after half an hour. Just seeing everyone happy made me sad, angry even, because I couldn't feel it. So now I have so many things to do. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. I got the luggage in New York. I got to prepare the cooker for his lunch because massage is going to come soon. So I'm doing all these things. And then I start massage. So Prabhupada, you see him get massage, just a gamcha. You're in your gamcha. So now I'm behind him, but I'm not happy. I'm not even I'm miserable, depressed. I don't even know why. Well, I know why. It's the modes of nature. It's called the mind and the modes of nature. Brahmacharya asked Prabhupada, how do I control my mind when I chant japa? Prabhupada said, there is no question of mind. You said you chant with your tongue. He would do it. You chant with your tongue and you hear with your ears. So he literally just went from here to here because your mind's in here, right? So he said, he did it like you chant with your tongue, you hear with your ear. I said, it was shortest japa retreat ever. Everything we do, it's to bring us to the point. Just chant and hear. It's not difficult. And the mind, like Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, I just slap it, beat it with shoes, beat it with the broom. And then ignore it. Chant and hear. Prabhupada said, when you're in anxiety, you chant very loudly. He said that. He said, when I'm in anxiety, I chant very loudly. His anxiety was we were trying to give away the Juhu property at the time, which he was determined to keep. And he would walk around. I could hear him sometimes chanting on his beads. You could hear his beads in his bead bag. Prabhupada took shelter of the holy name. That's what we do. We take shelter of Krishna. So while I'm massaging him, I'm feeling so hurt, abused, suffering, unhappy, I said, Prabhupada, I said at the airport, all these devotees, they love you so much. See them, they're in ecstasy, jumping up and down. And he said, they have such love for you. I said, I don't feel any love. Imagine I said it to him. Who'd be so foolish to say something like that to their spiritual master? I was with them so long, and I was so miserable, but at the same time, I felt close enough to him to expose myself. Only time in my whole life. And I'm still massaging him. Everything was connected to service, I would say. Everything I did, it was while I was serving him. Everything when he talked, I was always doing service. That's our connection, our service. He didn't say anything. For the next hour, I'm massaging him, and he's just sitting there with his eyes closed, and I'm thinking, oh my God, what did I just do? What I just told him I'm just a total nonsense. No feelings, no love, nothing. But he doesn't say anything for the next hour while I'm massaging him, massaging his feet. I'm looking at him. I was hoping he was going to comfort me. So you're a nice boy, they say. I don't know what I was hoping. So then after massage, Prabhupada would stick out his hand. You know why? Put mustard oil in there that you just massaged him with because he oiled all his gates. Everywhere. You know, that's Ayurveda. Prabhupada followed Ayurveda very closely. He didn't speak about it very often because he had more important things. He had to give us Krishna. So he didn't go off into all these different... It was Krishna consciousness, not Ayurveda consciousness, not psychology consciousness, astrology consciousness. So many different things that are there. No, Krishna he gave us. But if you had the opportunity to be with him, you would see his lifestyle. So now I have to, I say, prepare his cooker, get lunch ready, make the chapatis, bring the plate in, put it down, not saying anything to me. Offer obeisances back and forth, 5-6 chapatis. Every time offer obeisances, slide the chapati, puffed up, ghee on the top, onto his plate. Doesn't say anything. But I'm busy now, so things are a little bit easier on my head. So then after lunch, I distribute all his maha-maha. Prabhupada takes rest. And then I hear the bell ring. So I'm in a little anxiety. I go in and offer obeisances. He looks at me. He said, do you like your service? I said, yes, Prabhupada. I did. I like my service very much. Who could have a nicer service? I said, yes, Prabhupada. He said, that's love. He said, your service is love. That shows your love. He says, jumping up and down is very nice. He said, but service is love. You're jumping up and down. That's, you do that for you. That's not your service. That's your ecstasy. Service is love. You want to show your how much you care for your guru and Krishna, you have to keep busy for them. He said, just do your service. He said, everything will be all right. So that's what he told me when I was struggling. And that was one of 3-4 times he called me in just to help me, you know, push me along, keep me engaged, keep me from falling away, because we were with him. He called me in his room 12 times, said, where are they? Why are they sleeping? He was talking about his secretary, his Sanskrit editor. If he knew they were sleeping, he'd tell, go wake them up. Wake them up, he said. In Vrindavan, during Kartik, he said, where are they? It's 5 in the morning. I said, rest. I was new then. It's just a resting problem. He said, call them. Shyama Sundar Prajumna me, we all go back into Prabhupada's room. Seeing Prabhupada's room here, that is just, to me, that was everything, Madan Mohan temples, everything is so nice, but seeing Prabhupada's rooms, I mean, he literally brought Radha Damodar temple here. Such a wonderful. What was I saying? Yes, he called us in. And he looked at them. They were his 1966, 67. They were his crew. They'd done everything for Prabhupada. Sadhana wasn't always great for some of the early people. They just love serving Prabhupada. That's the Prabhupada they knew. You know, the Swamiji that they just like being with him. Nothing else really mattered. They wanted to serve him, wanted to work for him all the time. So he called them in and he looked at us. He said, you should rise early in the morning, he said, before Mangalartik. He said, and take cold bath. He said, taking cold bath isn't an austerity. He said, it's common sense. He said, it's Ayurvedic principle. See? Prabhupada followed these principles himself. So he said, It's not an austerity. Get up 4 in the morning and take a bath. And we think, oh, such an austerity. But he said it's just common sense. Of course, he said Krishna consciousness is common sense. It's just the only thing that's good for you. He said, and if you do that, he said, rise early, 10 Mangal Arti, chant your rounds, follow the principles, engage in service. He said, after 12 years, everything you say will be perfect. Yes. I'm still trying after almost 50 years, but I haven't been. But that's the program. You just stick with it. He said, everything will come. Everything will be all right. Many years after he left, 20 years after he left, finally he came to me. It was like 4 in the morning. I always have the vivid dreams at 4 in the morning. He came and I saw him right in front of me standing, garland, beautiful. And I just fell. This is a dream. But he was there. It wasn't a dream. He was there. And I just, my head was on his feet. I could feel my tears. And I looked up and he just patted me on the head. He said the same thing. He said, don't worry. He said, everything will be all right. You just do your service. That's our connection. It's our connection to spiritual masters, our service. That desire to assist him. It will carry you back to Godhead. Okay. We should stop here, I think. Huh? Thank you. I think tomorrow morning I give a class, and tomorrow sometime in the afternoon I'll probably be leaving. And then we're off to Mauritius and South Africa. So this is all Prabhupada's mercy. He keeps us engaged. If you want service, there's so much service is there. Okay. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for pouring out your heart and sharing such nectarian pastimes of Srila Prabhupada and wonderful lessons. So, Prabhuji was just sharing yesterday that there was a Prabhupada festival in LA, and all the devotees who cooked for Prabhupada, they were there and they were sharing their experience, and all the devotees there unanimously agreed that Shrutakirti Prabhu was the best cook for Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada really liked his cooking, and he was sharing yesterday that he could make 8 preparations in 1 hour, single-handedly. And he used to travel and cook Prabhupada, massage, and he has unlimited pastimes like this. So again, tomorrow morning, Prabhuji will be sharing such wonderful pastimes. And thank you, Prabhuji, and we welcome him to Govardhanika village by loudly chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
Krishna Balaram Mandir, he was giving darshan. So there were Indian locals, some of his friends. And he was saying, especially in Vrindavan, had these places, you minimize eating, sleeping, you know, bodily necessities. And he said, my servant, he said, Shrutakirti, he cooks my whole lunch, 45 minutes. He was very proud. You don't spend a lot of time, just 45 minutes. He says, right, Shrutakirti? I said, yes, Prabhupada. I said, cooking and you get massage. He said, yes, cooking, massage, 45 minutes, finished. That was bodily maintenance done. Yeah. Hare Krishna.